Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Like a good son, I always make sure I call my mom. And yesterday I was taking a little walk outside and had my cell phone with me. And, you know, mom's in Florida and I'm here in California. We're separated by almost 3,000 miles now. But all I have to do is just punch a few numbers. And if you're listening by CD, I'm holding my cell phone. All I have to do is just punch a few numbers in and instantaneously I have contact with my mom. And I can hear her voice, and she can hear my voice. It's awesome. This telephone is a medium. It's a mode of communication. It's a point of contact between my mom and me, even though I'm 3,000 miles away from her. And I know you call your children and your friends and relatives on phones also. I think phones are awesome. Remember Ma Bell years ago had that advertisement, reach out and touch someone? Remember what the theme of the mission is? He touched me. And I believe that phones are a way to touch people. And it's a place of contact, just this little teeny thing. And yet we can instantaneously be with someone far away. And I want you to hold on to this image for a minute of a telephone, because that, to me, is a great image of what the Bible is. The Bible, to me, is a place of contact. It's a medium through which God speaks to us. We can hear His voice. And it's simply a place where God touches His people. And instantaneously. And all you have to do is come to it. I remember when I was a young man, I was 19 years old and searching in my life. And I was looking for truth and didn't quite know where to turn, but I remembered that my CCD teachers told me that truth was to be found in the Bible. So my parents had this big family Bible down on their shelf, down in the living room, and that's where it stayed. Nobody really read it. We just had it there. So one day I remember I went down and I took the Bible off the shelf and blew the dust off the cover because there was a lot of dust on it. It was one of these big Catholic Bibles, you know, and I took it up to my room, and it was like booty. You know, I wanted to see what was in there, and all the letters, all the words of Jesus were in red. So I remember the Gospel of Matthew had a lot of red words, you know, because Jesus speaks a lot. And I remember reading, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. And it really touched me. Just like that telephone, you know, I heard the voice of God speaking to me through that word. And that was one of a beginning of a relationship I developed with God through the Scriptures. And I began to pray, and I began to ask, and I began to seek, and I began to knock, and my life changed. God poured His Holy Spirit upon me, and I had all these experiences way back then, and just changed me very beautifully. And I want to continue and tell you that, you know, since that time, I continue to seek God and to listen for His voice in the Scriptures. Specifically, today is the feast day of St. Luke. For those listening by CD, we're recording this on October 18th, the wonderful feast day of St. Luke, the apostle and the evangelist. Scholars tell us that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, a major part of the New Testament written by this man Luke. And we can tell that he wrote this because we know the grammar is the same, that he has the same themes, and that the Greek words are very similar in both Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. So I remember many times, sitting in my room back home in Massachusetts when I was, after the Lord touched me with His Spirit, searching for His will, wanting direction in my life. And that's one thing that the Bible will bring you. Not only will it mediate contact with God, but it will also lead you and guide you in terms of direction for your life. No matter how old you are, young and old, you might think, well, my life's over, Father Cedric. You know, I don't need any more direction. Yes, you do. God will direct you all the way till you die, and then he'll take you home. So anyway, I remember I was reading the Acts of the Apostles, and I would just sit there. I was infatuated with that book, the Acts of the Apostles. You know, how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon people, and how people were changed. And they said of the apostles, uh-oh, here come those men that are turning the world upside down. And I wanted to be one of those men that turned the world upside down. See, as I was reading it, and as I was getting imbued with the truth, it was like everything I was reading, I wanted to do. And I read about Paul the Apostle. He would go to Ephesus, for example, and Corinth, and Thessalonica, and Galatia, and all those places. And I thought to myself, what would it be like to be a missionary and to go all those places, Ephesus and Corinth and Thessalonica and all those different places? Little did I know that years later I'd be going to Vallejo and Vacaville and Fairfield and Winters and Sacramento and Louisiana and Texas and Florida and Michigan and all these different places. And you see, it was like I absorbed God's will into me through the scriptures, and it became my destiny. That's why there's such an affinity with the Word of God and the people of God. And if you're not reading the scriptures, you're kind of just like a fish out of water. You're just kind of flipping around without direction, without the will of God, having trouble contacting God. Now, the scriptures aren't the only way that we can come to know God, but they're a major way. And that's why at every Mass we read the Bible, we read the scriptures. And I'm trying to convey upon you, to you this morning, the impact that the scriptures have had in my life. And I don't know where I'd be today if I didn't go to the Bible. Especially every day, I make it the foundation. That's one of the reasons why I gave you the Word Among Us. I want you reading the Mass readings. I want you journeying with the Catholic community as we all journey together, hearing the Word of God together. And I think it's important that you have those scriptures as the foundation. So today is the feast day of St. Luke. And of course, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in Colossians 4:14, Paul tells us that Luke was a physician. In other words, Luke was a doctor. And it's interesting, you know, scholars have examined the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, and there were certain words in there that only doctors knew when it comes to illnesses, Greek words. So we're pretty sure that he was a physician. And there's an interesting little tidbit that I studied, I remember in the seminary, about the Gospel of Luke that shows us that Luke was a physician. And here's how we decipher it. If you remember the story of the woman that had the hemorrhage and she was bleeding for 12 years, and she was following Jesus, and she reached up to Jesus and she touched Jesus and she was healed. Well, the Gospel of Mark said that for 12 years she was bleeding inside, and then he adds this phrase, the Gospel of Mark. She suffered under many doctors. In other words, she spent a lot of money on the doctors and nothing worked. What's interesting, the Gospel of Luke left that phrase out. Because Luke was a doctor. So that's how we know who wrote the Gospel of Luke. You know, we can decipher. It's like using a magnifying glass to check it out. And the Gospel of Luke is a beautiful gospel. It has themes in it. You can't always just read the gospel and read one verse or read what they call a pericope, read a little couple verses. You have to see that scholars tell us that there are themes to each gospel. In other words, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John are all like different portraits. Some say that Luke was an artist as well as a doctor. Well, I think he was an artist because he drew a portrait of Jesus, different from Mark, different from Matthew, different from John. Each evangelist has its own theology, and they put it in there, and I'll try to explain that in a minute as I go on. Some of the themes of Luke, for example, a major theme in Luke is the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that more tonight. The Acts of the Apostles, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so prevalent in Luke. Another theme in Luke is he's the gospel of joy. Example, remember the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy when she hears Mary's greeting. So there's a great joy in Luke. It's the gospel of the poor, the gospel of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to focus on it's the gospel of prayer. I already talked about prayer on Monday, but I want to continue just a little bit because there's such a theme of prayer in the gospel of Luke. For example, when Jesus was baptized, he prayed. Now, this is not included in Mark or in Matthew. It says that right when he was baptized, he prayed, and then the Holy Spirit came upon him. So what does that tell you and me? It tells me that if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you've got to be praying. The Acts of the Apostles, what were they doing when the Holy Spirit descended upon them? They were all up in the upper room praying. So Luke connects prayer and the Holy Spirit and how important it is. And remember what he said. You know, he changes the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? That's what Matthew says. Luke, now you're going to see how his theme has changed. Luke says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, that's how you know how Luke is changing things to make a certain theme for his gospel. So really, it's prayer to those who ask. Remember how I started the whole thing? Ask and you shall receive. And Luke is telling us to ask not just for things, not just for good, but for the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying that this will be a day that you receive the Holy Spirit this morning and tonight in a very beautiful way. But you got to be asking. Ask and you shall receive. And then, of course, prayer. When Jesus was transfigured, Matthew and Mark, these are the synoptic gospels, by the way, really quickly. Let me just tell you, the three gospels, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, are called synoptic gospels. That's a word that means that they're very close. They see together. John is a maverick gospel. John's very different. Different traditions, different stories. But anyway, in Matthew and Mark, when Jesus is transfigured, we don't hear anything about prayer. But Luke tells us he was praying and he was transfigured. So Luke connects change with prayer. Those of you who are angry and depressed and going through situations, behaviors in your life that you can't control, if you want to change, you got to pray about it. Oftentimes, you know, people pray about everything else except for what they're going through. And if you want to change, prayer is part and parcel. My book on change, I talk about how you got to include God or else you're never going to change. And I read a book one time called Praying Your Experiences. Oftentimes, people pray everything else but what they're going through. For example, if you're depressed or if you're going through anxiety or fear, pray about it. Include God into it, and you'll be transfigured. You'll be changed in time if you keep at it. Then, of course, right before he chose his apostles, the Bible says in Luke that he spent all night in prayer, and then he made the choice of his apostles. And I always like to say, you know, you got to make a, before you make any major decisions, make sure you're praying about it, and God will help lead you, guide you. But an interesting thing, the people that Jesus chose were kind of misfits. I mean, Peter stuck his foot in his mouth all the time. Judas betrayed him. He chose a zealot, Simon the Zealot, who was a political zealot. See, even Jesus chose people through prayer that didn't really work out. So that tells us that even when we pray and we try to make choices, we may not make the best choices, but we got to trust that God is helping us. So don't think that you're alone saying, well, God, I prayed. You know, how come it turned out this way? Because I've made choices in my life that hasn't turned out exactly the way I wanted it to, even though I prayed. So that's, God will help, but sometimes it doesn't always work out like we want. Then, of course, on the cross, Luke tells us that Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. That's right from Luke. He's praying on the cross. In other words, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulations, pray about it. Pray during the suffering. Now, I talked about suffering yesterday and the tremendous perspective it can give you. Then, of course, the Acts of the Apostles is full of prayer sessions. They're praying and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Another time, you know, they've been persecuted. They get together in a room and they start praying. The room's shaken. Remember how I began the whole retreat? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And the room shook and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. I was at a Luby's restaurant in Houston, Texas. You know, we have Luby's. They're cafeteria-style restaurants. And right there when you get your drink, right above it, it says free refills. And that's exactly what God gives, free refills. But we've got to be praying and expecting. And then, of course, the Gospel of Luke, really quickly, all kinds of parables on prayer. about the widow that comes to the unjust judge, about the man at midnight knocking on the door. Jesus is talking about persistence and consistency and don't give up on prayer. These are all unique to Luke. See, Luke is all about prayer. We don't get this in the other Gospels. And so Luke is the wonderful, the reason why the church celebrates him is the wonderful gospel of prayer, connecting it with the Holy Spirit, connecting it with real life, connecting it with decisions. And it's so important that we pray. And that's why it's important to get into the scriptures. You know, oftentimes I think, especially older folk, you know, you heard growing up that it was for the priests to read, and the lay people really shouldn't read the Bible. And I think the reason why they said that is because I think they were afraid that people would go off into strange interpretations and, you know, become Protestant or something. Well, I don't think you have to worry about that anymore. You look real Catholic to me. And the Catholic Church is a Bible-believing church, as I said. That's why we always have scriptures read at Mass. Well, now there's been a tremendous revolution in scripture scholarship in the Catholic Church. And in the people of God, scripture groups are growing up all over the place. Bible study groups, women are getting together on Tuesday mornings, men are getting together on Monday nights. They want to know what's in the Bible and they want to apply it to their real lives. And I think that's beautiful that people are hungering for the scriptures, hungering for the Word of God, hungering for the Bible. And they want to know, and that they don't have to leave the Catholic Church and go to these charismatic non-denominational churches to get the truth. And unfortunately, many of our young people are. When we have it right here. So anyway, during Vatican II, which happened, as you know, about 40 years ago, the fathers of Vatican II said that we forcefully, this is right from the documents, I always quote this, it's in some of my books, underline that word, we forcefully exhort all the Christian faithful to come to know Jesus by frequent reading of the divine scriptures. And then, of course, well, I'm glad somebody likes that. And of course, St. Jerome, I took my confirmation name was Jerome. Jerome was a great biblical scholar. And this is quoted in the Catechism. Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ. In other words, I don't know the Jesus that you know unless it's the Jesus of the Bible. And if you don't really get into the scriptures, you can't really know him fully. You might know some Jesus, but not the real Jesus, the scriptural Jesus. And that's our primary source. And of course, I'm not trying to make light of anybody's piety. I'm just saying that the church's piety are the scriptures, is the Bible. You know, it's interesting. I rent cars all the time as I go to these different places. For example, this week I have a van because I have my friends with me and we have all this equipment. We're recording this week. And as I rent cars, you know, there are different cars in different places. And I'm not familiar with all the mechanisms of the car. And I remember I was driving a car one time. You know, it's a new car to me, and I'm just trying to figure out the mirrors and everything. And after a couple times, you know, I got out of the car, and I had to go to the back with the key to open the trunk. I go, I wonder if this car has one of those little buttons you press, and the trunk goes, dunk, you know? So, you know, in order to find out, I looked around. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I went to the driver's manual. I think you see where I'm going here. But I went to the driver's manual, and I said, you know, trunk, you know? And sure enough, it showed a little button, and it's just to the left of the driver's seat. And I look down there, and there's a button. I push it, thunk, trunk pops open, you know? So I said, wow, you know, the driver's manual shows you what you have in the car, even though you don't know it. And then I remember one time I was driving a car, and I saw that it had fog lights on the front, but I didn't know how to turn it on. I was playing with that light switch, you know, pulling, pushing, moving. How do you get this? I go to the driver's manual. There it is, fog lights. I had to pull the thing out and twist it. And then the fog lights went on. Showed me what I had and how it worked. And then another time I was looking and this thing's got heated seats. There's this button with the stripes on it. I go, push that, ooh, that feels good. That was one of those luxury cars. You know, every once in a while they give you upgrades. And what I'm saying is that, you know what, the Bible tells you what you have and how it works. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, a lot of people are Christian, but they don't know the fullness of Christianity. Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and life abundant. And that abundant life isn't just religion, you know, and I keep harping on that, I know. It's an abundance of joy in a relationship with God, in a whole new way of living. And I'm still discovering it. I mean, you walk in it and you try to live in it, the fullness, you know, as you journey. But let me just tell you a few things. For example, Paul tells us, this is like, the Bible in a way is like a driver's manual, you know, a car manual. Paul tells us, don't you know that you're the temple of God and that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And he was telling that to the Corinthians because they probably didn't even know that they had the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was the main thing that Jesus came to bring us. That's eternal life, having oneness with Christ in the Holy Spirit. So first of all, it's telling us, just kind of like that trunk button, you know, you've got something that you might not know, and I want you to discover it. And when you start reading the scriptures, you know, you can't help but think, who is this Holy Spirit? I want to know more about this. And then, of course, in Ephesians, the writer of Ephesians, we're not sure if it was Paul or not. Scholars tell us it wasn't because of the language. But the writer of Ephesians tells us that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of eternal life. Now, a lot of people are wondering, gee, you know, when I die, am I saved? Well, according to the scriptures, if you know that you have the Holy Spirit, if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you were in confirmation and in baptism, and hopefully you're developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk more about that tonight, and being led by the Holy Spirit, well, if you know that, then you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit with a guarantee. I mean, it's the good housekeeping seal of guarantee stamped on you that you're going to heaven. So one of the greatest gifts that Jesus gave me, we're talking about abundance. Now, I don't mean this in any presumptuous or prideful way. It's the assurance that I'm going to heaven. Why? Because heaven's already started. It doesn't start when you die, folks. It starts when you develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, this is what the scriptures teach. And this is what people are missing that don't know the scriptures. Remember what I said? Ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Christ or Christianity. That's why I'm so vehement about this. And that's why I wasn't taught this when I was young. And I said, when I'm a priest, I'm going to teach this. And that's why the fathers of Vatican II said, we forcefully exhort you to get into this. Well, there's many other things. I just wrote down a few. By grace you have been saved through faith. Now, notice, it doesn't say by works you have been saved. Oh, yeah, along with grace and faith. No, it says by grace, by the gift of God, by the freedom of God, you have been saved. Believe it. And as you read that, you know, faith comes by hearing. That's what the scriptures say, and you hear it by reading it. And then you say, wow, I am saved by grace. This is awesome. I don't call it amazing grace. I call it inexplicable grace. Then, of course, you know, Romans 8:1 tells us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know how many people I get coming up to me saying, Father, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself? And I addressed this a little bit last night in my talk. And what happens is people don't understand what's happened at the cross. That there's no condemnation. So what I like to say is that, you know what, it may not be yourself that's beating yourself up. I think it's evil that tries to pull you away from God and condemn you and accuse you. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. He's always out to accuse us, not only before God, but in our conscience. He accuses us. He makes us feel bad about ourselves. So what you got to do is pull out your weapon, and in fact, I think it's in Ephesians. Ephesians calls the word of God the sword. You got to pull out your sword and say, wait a minute. You know, when you start hearing that, wait a minute, devil. My Bible says that there's no condemnation now for those of us who are in Jesus. So when you're saying, you know, when the devil said, what about that sin long ago? There's no condemnation. So what did Jesus do in the desert when he was tempted? He spoke the word of God. He pulled out his sword. And most people, you're being sliced up and cut out and chewed up and spit out because you don't know the word. And I'm not saying that to everybody, but I'm just trying to cajole you to say, you know, you got to pull your sword out and use it. I used to, by the way, when I first started, I was kind of a swashbuckler. I'd bring a sword with me. I don't know if I did this 10 years ago, and I'd walk around with my sword and, you know, talk about the Word of God. So you got to kind of picture it. And then really quickly, I'm talking about the driver's manual now and what we have. There's so much. I'm just picking out a few things. How about peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And you're all anxious and you're not sleeping. Wait a minute, devil. Jesus gave me peace. And that dwells in me. I wrote a book called Thy Kingdom Come. It's the blue book where I talk about the Bible, I talk about prayer. I have a whole chapter on peace, and it's one of the most excellent chapters I ever wrote. And I invite you to get that chapter on peace and realize that you have within you, the Bible says, peace. You just have to tap into it. So we've got all these things, and the scriptures help us to identify it and to live it, to live that abundant life. And then I just want to tell you really quickly, for me, the scriptures are a source of encouragement. They inspire us, they lead us, they bring us into a relationship with God, they help us to fight the battle, but they also encourage us. For example, you know, one of my favorite verses comes from Romans 8, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. And you know, I have to face a lot of things. You know, if you think getting up every morning and doing this is easy and every night and the confession, I was here at a 10:10 last night. You all were home probably in bed and I was still here in confession. I'm not complaining, but it's a battle and it takes a lot of energy. And I always say, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror through your love for me. And then there's another verse that comes from Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, you choose verses like that, and you repeat them, you speak them out, and, you know, that's positive. Instead of all the negativity, psychologists tell us about this negative self-talk that we all have. And it's true, we have to fight that. Never mind the people around us that are negative. So the Word of God is always so positive because God is positive. And the Word of God is about God. And then, of course, there's other verses. I am with you to the end of the earth, to the end of the time. And I always say, Lord, thank you that you're with me. And there's a verse in the book of Hebrews, I will never fail or forsake you. And I constantly hold on to that either, because I know whatever I do, he will never fail or forsake me. So now you got to explore the scriptures, find your own verses. You know, there's so many of them in there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, there's all kinds. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil because you're with me. There's all kinds of them. And then you just simply adopt them as your own and let them encourage you.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.